If you have your copy of God's Word, if you turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, and we'll look at verses 14 through 16, Matthew 5, 14 through 16, on a message I've titled, No Fire, No Desire, Matthew 5 and 14. And when you get there, if you're able to stand, let's stand for the reading of God's Word, please. Matthew 5, starting with verse 14. And here the Bible says, Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for the reading of your word tonight. I'm praying now that you bless it, God. Thank you so much, Lord, for the good spirit we have here tonight. Lord, may I just continue being obedient to you and preaching what you'd have me to preach. And these things we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. As I was reading over that, I couldn't help but notice the resemblance there in the testimony that Sister Brenda just shared on sharing with that man and what the Bible just said right there about not hiding your light and letting it shine before men. And that's what we all should be able to do in this world. If you're a Christian, that certainly ought to be your desire to do that. I know it's not always easy, but it is something that God would be pleased with us doing. But as I stand here tonight, and I intended to have a candle, I've got some in this podium, but I'm not going to try to dig them out. But if you've ever had candles, and you have them setting up, and you don't light them, you've got an unlit candle. Over at the house, we've got some candles on our piano. We don't light them because they emit some kind of smell, and it bothers all of our allergies, so we can't burn them. But if you look at those candles are designed for a certain purpose. It's not just for looks. I mean, they're designed to emit a light. That's what a candle's for. They form them. They make them out of the wax. They put the wick in there, and it's all molded and all this stuff. And it's made to be a candle to shine forth light, to help you be able to see in the dark. But there's something not quite right about a candle that is not lit. Now, we can't light ours because it bothers our allergies. But when a candle's not lit, it's lacking something very important. And it's the thing that it was made to do, and that is to emit fire or light. As I think about an unlit candle, I can't help but think about the church. We have got a beautiful building. I mentioned it this morning about when they moved in here in 1967. What a wonder it must have been to move out of that little white frame building and move over here in this big sanctuary. And everybody that I've ever invited to come here, preachers, missionaries, whoever it is, the first thing they do is they walk in the door and they start doing this. And they're looking all around in amazement. And every single person I've ever invited, they say, you all have the most beautiful church. And the Lord has blessed us with a beautiful building to meet in. We can hold probably 300 people in here comfortably. We've got the facilities. We've got nice carpet, nice padded pews. We've got the restrooms. We've got running water and electricity. We've got instruments. We've got everything if your heart desires to have a nice, good place to meet in as a church. But like all these things I've been saying is just about a building. It really isn't the church. It's just the building that we meet in. When we talk, and I say it 1,000 times, the church, when the Bible speaks about the church, it's talking about those that's been saved. Those that's received Christ as our Savior. We become one of His. He is the head of us. We're the body. And we make up what the Bible calls the church. That was Jesus' plan all along when He told Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. And then from there on, it just continued on. Well, we are part of that. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. There was a time when you realized you were lost and bound for hell and you needed to be saved. And you trusted in the Lord Jesus to be your Savior because you know that somebody preached unto you the gospel. Whether you read it in a gospel tract or whether a preacher was preaching behind the pulpit or a Sunday school teacher stood up behind a lectern in the Sunday school class or your parents may have read it to you from the Bible or whatever. You could have just been reading the Bible and reading the gospel yourself. However it happened to you, you heard the gospel. If you're saved, you were saved by the gospel, by listening and hearing or reading it. And so you become part of His church, of the church of God. If this building was to, the Lord forbid, if it was to ever be destroyed, if it never caught on fire and burnt to the ground, if a hurricane or whatever, a tornado come through here and wipe this place off the map, we would still be the church. We could come and sit in the parking lot and be the church. We could go to one of our homes and be the church. Anywhere we meet together, we are the church meeting together. There was once a day when the church was the central focus of almost everybody that you knew. Now, I'm 52, right? I'm 52 years old. I had a problem with this morning, too. I'm 52 years old. I've been around for a little while. I was born in 1966. I grew up in the era of the 70s. In the 70s and the early 80s, I mean, church attendance was at its peak. Back in 67, like I talked about in this building, why they had to build on and grow and have a bigger building, because people were coming to church. They were bringing their families to Sunday school. I've seen old bulletins where this church ran 225 people in Sunday school. And so there used to be a lot of people that attended this church. Other churches around here, I could start naming them off. I'm going to do it tonight because somebody will get mad if I don't mention theirs. But there's other churches all around here the same as ours. At one time, they were running 200, 250 people on a Sunday. But that was a long time ago. It was back in the 60s and 70s, some in the 80s. But I have witnessed over my 52 years the steady and gradual decline of families in church, church attendance. It no longer is at the top of the list for most families. Church nowadays is at the bottom of most people's list. They will fit it in if they're a Christian. They'll fit it in if it's convenient for them. If they don't have anything else to do, if they're not too tired, if it's not too dark, if it's not raining, if it's not doing this and not doing that, then we will fit church into our schedule if we don't have anything else to do. But used to, church was at the very top of everybody's list. I'll never forget laying in bed as a young boy. And of course, young boys, you know, we want to rebel. We don't want to go to church. Even though I was saved at the time, I remember laying there in that bed and thinking, boy, I don't want to get up and have to go to church. You know, they're going to drag me to church. And I can remember laying there, and I didn't have to do this but one or two times. But I was laying there in my bed, and my room was downstairs at Mom and Dad's house. We had dug out the bottom of the basement and put blocks up and made me a room down there. And so we had a set of steps that come from our living room down to my room that were almost straight up and down. It's almost like a ladder. And I was laying there in that bed, and I remember one Sunday morning, my dad come to the door, and he opened it up, and he said, it's time for church, time to get up and go to church. And I remember laying there, and I did the dumbest thing I've ever done. I said, I don't want to go to church. And you would have thought that the world was about to end. And my dad come barreling down those steps. I mean, I don't think he took but two steps to get all the way down to the bottom of that thing. And before I knew it, he had jerked me out of that bed and was shoving me up those steps. And he said, you're going to church. And boy, I went to church whether I wanted to or not, because my parents put church as a top priority in my life. And I am so thankful. I am so thankful that they instilled that into me. And if with every fiber of my being, if Sunday comes around, or even Wednesday, because we went every time the door was open, friends. There wasn't any time you did not go to church. And you had to be dying. And but we went to church when the door was open. And I'm so thankful for that. And if there's a Sunday or Wednesday comes around, if there's even an inkling thought in my brain that I ain't going to go to church, I feel so guilty, and I would go if I was dying, I'd come anyway. There's been very few times that I've not wanted to go to church since Dad made me go. But sadly, I've watched people stop going to church. Nowadays, they give children the choice. Well, you know, I want to be my child's friend. And so they'll come and they'll say, I'm going to church. Do you want to go? No, I don't think I want to go today. Okay, we'll see you after church. That's what happens today. Or you've got the parents that don't go themselves, never have their kids go, but yet they claim to be saved, they claim to be Christians, but yet they don't go to church, they don't put it on priority on their list. And I know right away somebody says, listen here, Brother Byron, I'm saved, and it don't matter if I don't go to church, it doesn't matter at all. Well, I think it does matter. I think it matters to the Lord. I think He expects us to be in His house when we're able to, when we're physically able to. I know there's times we cannot be. There's time, and I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I realize that. I'm not talking about anybody in here. But listen, I believe unless that we are physically or mentally, there's times mentally that you're unable to come to church, or you don't have a ride or something like that, then we can't come. But listen, if there's any other way possible, I think that a person ought to be in the house of God when the doors open. If your name's on the church roll book, then I believe you ought to be there. But sadly, I've watched this over the last so many years now. As the church attendance dwindled, Sunday school boards went down to practically nothing. Kids are no longer in classes. Very little bitty kids no longer in church. And it's heartbreaking. It really is. And you stop and you wonder, well, what happened? What was the thing that caused all of this? Because it was almost like it was overnight. It was like one day you're sitting, you're having to put chairs out. There's so many people in the house of God. And the next day you're looking around and the pews are empty and people are gone. And so you start wondering, what is it? What's the lack of people's desire to be in God's house? I mean, is it because they don't have a good place to meet in? No, we've got a wonderful place to meet in. There's so many churches, good buildings that people can come meet in. It's not that. There's churches everywhere. Is it the decline of morals? Is that what it is? Is it because people are just now immoral all the time? Listen, it was worse in the Roman Empire than it is in this day we live in today. Believe it or not. The Roman Empire, it was worse than it is today. And so so it's not the decline of morals. We know that does happen. Is it because we don't have a way to communicate when it's time for church? Well, certainly not. I mean, we've got the internet, we've got email, we've got cell phones, we've got everything, you know, available to us to let people know when church services are, when to meet, what's going on. I mean, all the information is out there. So what is it that's lacking? Why is it people have quit coming to church, and why is there no desire to be in God's house? You know, these days people have a desire to do a lot of things. But when it comes to the things of God, there's no desire anymore. You know why that is? Where there's no fire, there's no desire. Where there's no fire, there's no desire. Now, people get fired up today about a whole lot of things. Hey, all you got to do is go and question people today. What is it you're interested in? Look at somebody's bank account sometime at the things that they purchase. You'll find out where their heart is. You'll find out what their desire is. It's whatever they spend the most money on. It's wherever they spend the most time at. And the thing that you love the most is where you're going to spend the majority of your time. And so if there's no fire, there is no desire. These days, people are fired up about movies, television, video games, sports, music, the list goes on and on and on. And they have a great fire for those things and a great desire for those things. And it'll show in their life. If you've got a desire about sports, you're going to guarantee when you open your mouth, you're going to be talking about sports. I don't keep up with it, okay? And if you do, that's fine. Bless your heart. I don't keep up with sports. I really don't care one way or the other. I hope UT wins when they play. I do. But I don't keep up with it. I don't know what's going on with them. I don't know who their quarterback is. I don't know anything about them. I know their coach's name is Pruitt now. That's about as far as I know. But apparently something happened this past week, and their offensive coordinator or somebody resigned. And because, how do I know that? Because of about four different preacher friends of mine, that's all they've talked about for about a week. The coordinator they're trying to replace, and they've naming off all these names of people I've never heard of, but they're very desirous about this thing because they have a fire for football. They're interested in it, and so they're really fired up about it. But Jesus said over in Luke 12:34, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So if your treasure is not in the things of God, if they are in the things of the world, the Bible says not to be interested in the things of the world, what we need, though, is people today, men and women, that are on fire for God. People that have a fire, a sincere burning within their heart for God, a fire. You know what we have when we have that? We have people with a great desire to do things for God. Now, this morning we talked about that desire to spread the gospel. If you have a fire in your heart for the Lord, you will have a desire to share the gospel. And we need men and women like that today. I'm reminded of the prophet Jeremiah. You know the story. Jeremiah had been in the ministry for quite a while. He was the one that was supposed to tell Judah all he warned them of their sins. If you don't turn from your sins and your wickedness, God's going to allow your enemy to come in here and destroy you, take you captive, and all these things are going to happen to you. And they would not listen to the man. They wanted to kill him. They put him down in the pit. They hated him. They did everything in their power to try to destroy that man, and they would not listen to him. God told him when he started they wasn't going to listen to him. But it finally, over all the years, it started wearing wearing on Jeremiah. And Jeremiah started wearing down. And he become to a point where he thought that he was going to actually stop preaching God's word. And that's what he told the Lord. He said this in Jeremiah 20:9. He said, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." And I believe he meant it. I believe he got to a point in his ministry where he was just ready to quit, ready to give up. Now listen, I know how he feels. I've been that way. I was that way this morning. I know what he means. And so there comes a time in your life when you're working for the Lord and you're doing so much and you're expecting things to happen and people to be excited and people to have the same vision, share that same vision with you, and it doesn't seem to be there. And all you want to do is you want to say, "Well, listen, Lord, I gave it a good shot, but I'm ready to quit. I'm tired. I'm going to give it." I have a good preacher friend, been a pastor at a good Baptist church for several years. He resigned this morning. I'm hearing this all the time now. People that I know, pastors and preachers that are going and resigning their churches because they just, that fire seems to be quenched out, or it's getting lower. Something inside of them, they can't hold on anymore. And Jeremiah said there, "I'm not going to make mention of him. I'm not even going to speak his name anymore." He was so upset. But then we know what happened. As he kept going, he said this in the very same sentence, in the very same verse, "But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." In other words, the fire that the Lord had built inside of me, it was burning down in my bones, and there wasn't a thing I could do about it except open my mouth and herald out his word. That's what I had to do. I can't stay in this condition I'm trying to be in, the one where I'm not going to mention his name. I got to say it. I got to say his name. I got to tell the land of Judah about the Lord that tells them they need to turn from their wickedness and their sin and turn to him for all they need. And he said, "I just can't keep that quenched anymore. It's burning inside of me." And so he could not stay. He said, "Friends, I know what he means. When the fire of the Lord gets down inside of you, it's got to come out. It has to. I mean, there is no keeping it in, because you've got to release it. You've got to let people know. You've got to tell the world about Jesus when he's burning down inside of you. Because where there's a fire, there is a desire. Where there's a fire, there's a desire." And those days that I've walked out of this church and I've gotten a car and I've looked at Mary and I said, "I'm not ever going to preach again." Yeah. But by the time I get home and start taking my suit off, that fire has already started kindling inside of me. That fire starts back up and I'm thinking about the message for the night. You know, and listen, I've got messages going on in the back of my head on Wednesday night. There's a Wednesday night message back here that won't go away. It's all, I keep thinking about it. I worked on it all week last week and it's right back here in the back of my mind. And I'm already thinking about what I'm going to be preaching on next Sunday. I mean, it just won't quit. It's almost like I'm possessed of the Lord. And I'm glad of that tonight. He's got a fire burning down in my bones. And so these things keep coming to me and they've got to come out. I got to tell somebody. If it ain't you, it's going to be a cow out in the field or somebody. I've got to preach it because there's a fire burning down in my bones. Listen, friends, when that fire's down inside of you, you've got a desire, and the world don't have this type of fire. The world don't have any clue about this fire. Oh, they can get on fire about football. They can get on fire about basketball and all these other balls they get on fire about. But listen, friends, they don't have the fire that the Lord puts down in your bones. Listen to what the Bible says over in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Now, the gospel writer John here, boy, he was a friend of the Lord. He was the one the Bible says that Jesus loved. He was the one that laid on his breast there as they were sitting around the table. And he's the one that Jesus, hanging on the cross, looks down and committed the care of his mother into his hands. This John, he writes this gospel, and he's telling us in the beginning. He said, "In the beginning was the Word." We all know that word right there, logos. It means the Lord Jesus is who he's speaking about. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was," what does he say? "The light of men." That's what Jesus is. The Word, Jesus, is the light of men. He's the life and the light of men. "And the light shineth in darkness." The Bible tells us that men love darkness. They hate the light. They love the darkness. They love the darkness. But here it says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." There was a man sent from God whose name was John. It's talking about John the Baptist. This same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, it says. Capital L in your King James Bible, the light is capitalized. It means the Lord. It's a name for him. It's the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, talking about John not being that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, Jesus, the Word. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But listen to this in verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There is power in Jesus Christ. There's power in being a son of God. There's power in being this one that comes to Jesus. The Bible says he that receives him, those that receive him, they have a power. What's that power? The power that only Jesus Christ can give us. And that power, what's that power going to do? That power is going to enable us to have this fire that's down in our bones, this fire that gives us the desire to share the gospel, to propagate the gospel, to herald the gospel, to tell people about Jesus, to say, hey, let me tell you what Jesus done for me. Hey, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I want you to know what Jesus did for me. I was bound for hell. I was going to die. I was going to go to hell and burn forever, but Jesus died for me, and he come to me, and he found me, and I received him, and now I don't have to be that. You know what? I've got power in Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Six times in those 14 verses, the Bible mentions the light. 14 verses, six times. And what does he say there in verse 12? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. My friend, if you're saved tonight, you have this power. This power that only God can give you. We are to be a witness of the light, the capital L, light. The light being the Lord Jesus. This is where our fire comes from. Somebody says, where's that fire come from? I tell you where it comes from. It comes from the Lord Jesus. He's the one that's kindling that fire down inside of us. And this is where it comes from. So we know where it comes from, but how do we keep it burning? I remember when I got saved, and when I got saved, I wanted to tell the world about it. I went home, and I remember calling people, calling Granny and Papa, and telling my brothers and sisters and all that. I got saved at Bible school. Jesus saved me. And I was telling people, and I remember going to school and telling people about it later on. And everywhere I went, I wanted to tell people. I was excited. And then suddenly this fire seems to like get smaller. And suddenly I stopped telling everybody about it. And suddenly it wasn't such as big of a deal to me as it once was when Jesus saved me. And the fire started getting lower and lower and lower. And my friend, I want you to know tonight that the only way that we can keep the fire burning is if there's something in there that keeps it burning. A fire has to have something to keep it lit. It has to keep going, whether it be wood or coal or gas or whatever it takes. It has to have something there to keep it burning. What is that keeps it burning? The Word of God is what keeps it burning. Well, for a fire to burn, the Bible says over in Proverbs 26 and 20, the first part of it, he says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Now, I don't know if you ever heard anybody say, you know, well, if that doesn't set you on fire, your wood's wet. You ever heard that? I used to hear that all the time. Everybody be excited in church and, you know, shouting and going on, and somebody'd say, well, if that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. Listen, I'm going to tell you, sometimes our wood gets wet. Sometimes our fire starts getting quenched. Sometimes our fire gets small and we withdraw. But when we have that fire inside of us that's burning and raging, that fire gives us a desire to tell people about Jesus. And so for it to burn, we have to have something there to keep it burning. That thing that we have to have is the Lord. The Bible says this, to keep the fire, it gives us the desire. In Jeremiah 23 and 29, is not my word like a fire? That's what the Bible says. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Over in Hebrews 12 and 29, the Bible says, for our God is a consuming fire. So the only way that we can keep this fire going inside of us that gives us this desire that we need to have, that God wants us to have for him, friends, is if we keep it going. We keep it kindled. And the way that we do that, we get in his precious word, we read it, not only do you read it, you apply it to your life. See, too many times we read God's word, we read the words that's on the page, but we don't apply it to our life. We don't let it penetrate our heart and write it upon our heart and let it penetrate us and be obedient to his word. We've read it, but we're not being obedient to it. To have that fire burning down inside of us, we'd be obedient to the word of God. And so God is a consuming fire. And he said his word is like a fire. Back in our opening text, it said that we are the light of the world. The true light came into the world and the world received him not, the Bible says. But while we are living and breathing on this earth, we are those that's supposed to shine forth the light of Christ. We should be shining the fire of the Lord Jesus everywhere we go. We can't hide his candle. We can't hide his light. I mean, that's what the Bible says. We cannot do that. A city on a hill can't be hid. Now, what's that little song we used to sing about hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. And we learned that when we were kids. And some grown-ups need to start singing that song, I think. You know, as a kid, we get excited about it. You know, I'm not going to hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. We need, as grown-ups, we need to start singing that song and remembering it and following it and saying, listen, I'm not going to put my candle out. I'm not going to hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Listen, whether you know it or not, the moon does not have any light by itself. The moon is dark and bleary and gray and ugly. But when the light of the sun reflects off of it, it shines forth the glory of the light of the sun. And it don't do it all. It don't reflect all the sun. Only 12% of the sun's light does it reflect back. And imagine, have you ever been outside? I know Sister Shirley, she takes pictures of the moon and stuff. And Sister Brenda took a picture of the moon right over here not long ago. And it was rising up out of there. And it was so huge. And it was bright and lit up. And what a miracle. But that was only reflecting the sunlight. We as Christians tonight, we're to reflect the sun's light, the S-O-N's light. And so we are reflectors of his. So going through this life, we don't hide our candle. We don't hide it in a bushel. We don't hide our Christianity. We're not secret Christians today, but we ought to be telling everybody about him. And we should have that fire down in our bones. We should pray this prayer that the psalmist prayed. In Psalm 18:28, he says, "For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." If we would remember that. Friends, and pray the Lord. Just pray and be earnest with him and honest. He already knows everything about you. He knows what you're thinking. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. Just be honest with him. Say, "Listen, Lord, I feel like sometimes that my fire is not burning the way it should. I feel like my desire is not there that it needs to be. Lord, would you help me with that? Would you kindle that fire down inside of me and let it burn and grow brighter and let me be this candle that's lit and reflect your glory?" And let me tell you, friends, that will he'll help you with it. He'll help you with it. I want to ask you tonight, do you have that fire down inside of you that gives you that desire? Is that fire there? Is your desire there? Because if it's not, you need to find out why. You need to ask yourself and ask the Lord. Say, "Lord, why do I not have that desire?" Pastor Byron's been preaching about it for two services now, about this desire to tell people about Jesus. Why is it not there? Why is my fire not there? And pray and ask the Lord to help you with it. Listen, Christ is the answer to all of our problems. He's the answer to that fire that we need to have for that desire. Everything always revolves back to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have the proper relationship, if you don't have fellowship with him, you're not going to have this fire down inside of you giving you this desire. If you're not reading his word, you're not praying to him, being obedient to him, listen, you're not going to have that fire that you need for that desire. And so tonight I want to ask you, and listen, when somebody preaches a message, when a pastor preaches a message, or a preacher, evangelist, missionary, whoever it is, when they're preaching a message, there should be at the end of it, there's a call to do something. You know, a message isn't just for you to listen and say, "Well, that was pretty good. I wonder what he's going to preach next." That's not for that. The message is designed for you at the end of it to make a decision. It may not be a decision to be saved. Most of you are already saved. It may not be that. But there's a decision there to make. Am I going to listen to what God's word says and desire that fire down inside of me and seek the Lord to help me with that? Or am I going to ignore everything that I've heard tonight and walk out of here and be the same that I always was because I don't want to do any changes? So the call tonight is for you to make a decision. What are you going to do? I'm not asking you to come down here and fall at the altar or tell me about it. But what you need to do is you need to get with the Lord about it. You say, "Lord, what do I need to do? How can I do this? Lord, if it means asking the Lord to change your mind and change your heart, change your thoughts, change your desires, if that's what it means, ask him. Ask him. And listen, if it's pleasing to the Lord, he'll do these things for you. He'll do them for you. If it's in his will and in his word, he certainly will do it for you. And so that's what we have to do, friends. Because if you don't, if you keep doing what you've been doing, and you don't have that fire or that desire, then you need to change what you're doing or not doing. And so that's the call tonight. I'm going to come get the invitation song. Get an invitation song. I told you it wouldn't be a very long message. But listen, friends, I honestly, I think that every Christian tonight, Every Christian ought to have some kind of desire within their heart to do things for the Lord, to at least share things with other people about the Lord, whether it be through a song, whether it be through your testimony, whether it be through handing somebody a tract, whether it be just speaking with somebody. How about sending somebody a letter in the mail? You know, that's not uncommon, you know. We had a lady here that wrote letters to hundreds of people and put them in envelopes and personally put the addresses on there, and we put stamps on them. We sent them out. Now, I didn't hear back from anybody on that, but I know that those got into people's homes. They got in their personal homes because this person had the desire to tell people about the Lord, to share with them. And that was somebody here in our church. And it wasn't my family. It wasn't me. And so I am so thankful for that. When people get that desire to do things, and it could be something like that, whatever it may be. But I want to ask you to stand tonight. And let's pray together as they play. And if you need to come to the altar for any reason, come down here and pray. If you want to pray right there in your seat, you're welcome to do that. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we've preached all we can do tonight. God, we preach what your word says. Lord, and God, we know that you want us to have that desire to do things for you. God, I'm praying tonight if there's one here that needs that fire rekindled, that fire, Lord, to be a catalyst down inside of them, Lord, to burn down in their bones. God, whatever it takes, Lord, to help them with that desire that's needed. I pray that you help them. God, I pray that they'll get with you tonight and pray and be earnest about it. And Lord, you'll do a work in their heart. And God, we praise you for it and thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for all your blessings. Thank you, God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And amen. If you have a need, come in for the Lord.